So you have a ton of properties, over 30 properties on Furnish Finder. What have you found is the benefit of having so many properties on the site and having them spread out around the Austin area?
So I just want to say that we do multi-pronged marketing on our properties, and we measure how our advertising efforts are doing. And we feel that Furnish Finder is an excellent site for us, just so you know. And it always puzzles me because I sometimes see people commenting that they're not getting bookings off of Furnish Finder. And that does puzzle me because we find it really works well. What I will say is when you have more properties up on the site, there's a thing that I call it cross-marketing. But basically, the more properties you have, the more inquiries you're going to generate. And let's say you have a property on Furnish Finder that just happened to already book, and you still have the listing there. So someone now hits on that one, and you're talking to that person, and you realize after talking to them that maybe a different one of your properties might work. So that happens to us all the time.
Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
We are here with another great episode of The Landlord Diaries. It's your host team, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon. And today is a special treat. It's someone I admire very much and hope to one day be able to work with in the midterm rental space. Tell us about Julie, Katie.
So Julie is amazing. She's in Austin. She's a realtor, a broker, an investor herself. She works as a property manager and a co-host for like 43 other properties or some crazy number like that. So she's very, very informed. She's very experienced and educated. And Julie for me is just a great example of people within the midterm rental industry, because she doesn't gatekeep her information or her advice or her experience, which you and I get to see every single day when we record these episodes. And we're just so happy to share it with all of you, because that's not always the norm, right? But it's everyone here is here to make themselves the best landlord and business owner they can be, whether you have one property or 100, and to also help others, because when this entire industry gets better, we all get better. So it was such a great conversation. She got so many good nuggets. We talk about everything from if you need a property manager to the current market. So please listen in, enjoy, and don't forget, if you're enjoying the content, to please comment, like, subscribe, follow, you know, just hit all the buttons except the bad ones. So
sounds good to me.
Thanks, guys.
Julie Stokely runs a full-service brokerage in the Austin, Texas area and is founder of Homebase ATX. Julie saw an increasing demand for a new level of corporate housing and relocation services in the growing city of Austin. Homebase ATX has become one of the most sought-after teams of home relocation service providers and corporate leasing specialists in Austin. Julie has almost a decade of experience in the midterm rental space with over 50 midterm rentals. Julie, we are so honored to have you with us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And Julie, I think you became an investor before you got your real estate license and became a broker. So tell us about your journey that led to where you are today.
Sure. Thank you, Kelly. I think I've always been a person who was fascinated by real estate. Even before I was in a position to buy real estate when I was younger, I just loved looking at homes, felt drawn to different architecture. And we moved to Texas from Canada, actually, in the year 2000, and purchased our first home in Austin as a primary home. And then we had some Canadian investment money that we needed to remove from Canada and bring to the U.S. And I pestered my husband and I wanted to do real estate investing. And that's kind of how it started. And it was like not of interest to him in particular. He was supportive, but I basically bought my first properties. And that was in 2007. And I've been going ever since, basically more of a buy and hold type investor, looking for properties that I felt had excellent locations, high rental demand, not so much a fixer upper, you know, a little bit of work, but more rental ready. So I got started on that, and we were doing sort of 12 month typical stuff. And I found that there was a need for us to move into one of our rental homes because we were renovating. And while we were there, we furnished it and put really nice art in there. And when we left to go back to our house, I was like, maybe I will try and do a furnished rental. Let's see. And I had already done long-term rental. So I knew what the rates were for that. And I thought, let me see if I can increase my rent significantly by going this route. And there was a little bit of trial and error in finding the right platforms and ways to promote that. But the property was popular, and that kind of got me onto like, wait a minute, this is a much better situation. And so then I started to buy properties moving forward with the sort of goal of not doing the 12-month rental model anymore, doing midterm leasing. And honestly, at that time, very few people in Austin really knew about this, you know? And so I got a lot of calls and people that were interested in my properties because I don't think there was a lot of other listings, you know, at that time.
Yep. And I think that first rental that you got the light bulb moment of, ding, this is my route. I am going to gear my business this way. I believe that was in 2012. And so you've been working in the corporate housing midterm rental segment for over 10 years now. So what does your current portfolio look like? Tell us all about Homebase ATX.
Sure. So I became an agent after investing for a while, and I went into real estate full time. And within my first year as an agent, I was just working on my own properties at that time. And I approached my broker at the time and explained what I was doing and sought his approval to, kind of do this on behalf of other owners, because I can only make my portfolio a certain size if they are just my properties, as fast as I can buy them, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that takes time, to be fair. But if I can represent other owners on leasing and managing their properties, I can grow much faster. And so after getting approval from my broker, then I started adding properties much faster. So over the course of the last 6 years, we're now at almost 50 properties. Yeah, so it's grown pretty, you know, I think we started, I had three or four of my own when I started out. So it's pretty big growth. And so it's you know, and the segment's grown too, you know, along with me. I see now a lot more people trying their hand at this and, you know, seeking me out for advice. And, you know, I think that we're fortunate in that we were early innovators into the space.
So you have four properties that you own, correct? And the rest of the portfolio is properties that you co-host slash manage. I know a lot of people kind of use those terms interchangeably. So is that right?
Yeah. So I actually have contracts with those owners to be their exclusive realtor for leasing those properties. And these are owners who have all agreed to be in the midterm leasing space. So they understand that the properties need to be furnished and that the leases are not necessarily going to be 12 months. They're going to be shorter in length. And they are trusting our team to basically identify the tenants and get the properties, you know, leased out for them.
Yeah. So in that way, you're almost serving like you're helping them maximize their investment, right? Like they have this rental property and you're helping them say like, okay, like we can do more with this and I know how. So you go from being just kind of a transaction-based relationship to like you're ongoing. And that's really cool. Okay, so in just over 4 years then, you've become one of the most sought-after teams for relocation service providers in Austin and corporate leasing in Austin. So how were you able to scale so fast and really make your presence known within that market? Because Austin is a large and competitive market.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me. I think, first of all, I have to give credit to my team. After doing this for about a year and a half, I realized this is not a one-man show, and I had to start hiring good people to support me. And I've got 7 people now. So of course it didn't start that way, but I think, you know, taking time to hire good people and train them, in the systems, that I had been doing, but I needed to hand over to someone else, you know, to grow the company. So that's been huge. I think I've had some supporters, along the way, different brokers and agents who have come to know me and respect what I do, send me referrals, which is wonderful, you know. One other main factor is, I don't know why this is true, but a lot of realtors shy away from leasing business. And they just want to focus on sales because they get bigger commissions. I mean, sorry, but, you know, that's their mindset. And I've never really been that kind of realtor. Of course, I do sales, but I've always been more about, like, what is the real estate need of my client at the moment? And how do I service that? And then if I show that I'm able to help them with that problem, most likely they're going to come to me with another concern or desire or goal. And you know what? That turns into sales too. But if you say, if the conversation starts with, I need to lease my house, and I say, sorry, I don't do leasing, there's no relationship. You know, so I just very early on took a different mindset to most of my peers who just are chasing after sales. And as a result, there hasn't been a ton of other people who have come into my space, to be fair.
I think that's great. That's actually, our very first investment property was in Florida, and our realtor then became our property manager and leasing agent, because in that state, the property management, at least for that property, was very hands-on. We do all other properties long distance, but this one was with the weather and the environment, like, we needed someone there. And now we're actually doing a seller finance deal to sell the property to her daughter, who is also on her team. So it's like come full circle. It's like she helped us get it, and now we're like, okay, now you take it. Right. So, but yeah, it's been kind of this ongoing relationship, but anything we need, we haven't really seen her as just a realtor. We've seen her as kind of our partner and our resource in all of this. So yeah. I think that's very, very smart. All right. So how do you describe what a corporate rental is to your clients, either that you're, you know, explaining midterm rentals and kind of this strategy to, or who maybe are brand new to it? When you're selling them on it and letting them know how it would work, if you're like, okay, we're going to do some corporate rentals, some midterm rentals, furnished monthlies, they say, what's that? What do you let them in on?
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com, where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
It means different things to different people. And if you don't define it, they become confused or expect that you're doing something different. I find that people very easily differentiate between an unfurnished 12-month rental. You know, you're not doing that. They understand that part. But where they get confused is they think you're doing an Airbnb or something, like that. Like, it's a short-term rental. I get that a lot. Oh, you're doing short-term rentals, right, Julie? And I'm like, no, actually, I'm not really doing that. We don't do anything less than 60 days, and most of ours are more than 90 days. So that's not really a short-term rental. And so what I try to explain to them is that we're working with people who are going through either a work contract or some kind of life transition. What that might be, it could be building a custom home, going through a renovation, relocating into Austin, going through a divorce. I mean, that's not the nicest situation, but, you know, those people need good housing options while they're figuring things out. And so I try to explain it's for transition, but why would you do this? I think there are a number of reasons as an investor to do it. I mean, obviously the financials are generally better. You know, the rents are higher. But I also try to explain to them that I believe because you're having more touches on the property when you come in and change it from one tenant to the next, and you get to bring a turnover team in there and take a look at it, I believe those properties stay in better condition over time. If you have a long-term tenant in your property for 2 or 3 years, and they could be a great tenant, the truth is that you're not going in there as much. You really don't actually know the condition unless they're very actively reporting it to you. And so when I used to do that model, I'd come in and sometimes it would be like, oh my goodness, there's so much to do here. It's right. It's kind of stressful. And now maybe I would have done that repair 6 months ago and it wouldn't have been this bad, you know? And so it's much more preventative maintenance. And I also tell people, like, if you ever want to sell this property, this furniture can stay in here and be your staging. So it already looks fabulous. You can get the listing up really fast. It's great. You know, so I think it maintains the value of their property better because the condition stays higher. And then I also do think, just based on the pure economics, that they're probably getting a higher quality tenant as well. You know, and that matters because, I mean, it's not a proven fact, but I do think a higher quality tenant also means less drama, less damage to your property, you know? So there are a lot of advantages to it. Also, I do now, I have an emerging group in the portfolio of part-time owners. What I mean by that is that they want to use their properties for a few months a year because maybe they do spend time in Austin sometimes. But they also want to have a good tenant in there when they're not there. And so a long-term rental does not allow you to do that. You can't. I mean, you'd be forced to break the lease.
Yeah.
This model allows you the flexibility to say, hey, I want 3 months a year to be in Austin, and then Julie, can you lease it out for me in the other months? I always explain that, like, it doesn't quite work, always line up perfectly, but yes, we can try to maximize out your vacancy and get you a tenant in the other part of the year.
That's a great point, because that's one of the, an associate here on the pickleball court in Austin was that we were talking about that. And they're like, we live half our year in Colorado and half our year here. And we really want someone to take care of our property while it's furnished so that, you know, we don't have to worry about that when we're moving 6 months out of the year. And you were the one I referred them to. I don't know if they ever called or got set up with you or not, but that totally makes sense that people are real, especially retirees, they love that model, right? Where you can live half and half in different areas.
Yeah, or the empty nesters that are trying to figure out where they're going to retire and they want to go visit different places. And, you know, when you come back to the house, you want it furnished, right? If you're coming back for three months, you don't have time to put all the furniture back in. You just want to show up. Yep. So those ones, we have a little bit more logistics. We have to work on things like owner's closets and what needs to be in the property and what needs to be removed and all of that. It's a bit more complex.
I was actually talking to a friend recently, and she's an only child, and she lives out here in Denver, and her parents live in the Midwest, and they were always flying back and forth to visit. But my friend's house was pretty small. Like, she lives in, like, proper Denver, where, like, you're not going to get a large house. And they were renting hotels, and finally they bought a condo to stay at, and they furnished it all. And then I'm like, what are you doing? You know, when you come for a month in December, what are you doing with your other house? And they're like, well, we're just leaving it there. I'm like, what are you doing with the condo when you're not here? And it was like a light bulb went off, like, oh, we can put someone in here and help cover the expenses. And their mindset was, we're going to have this second property anyway for personal reasons, right? Whether we cover even, like, whether we make a profit or not is just, would be just gravy on top of it all and would help with, you know, maintenance and travel expenses back and forth and whatnot. But they were just so thrilled that there was like, oh, there's something I can do with this. It's like, yes, and please do, you know, you can make it so someone else has a great place to stay too. So it is amazing, especially when, you know, you get those second homes or whatnot, you can do something with them.
Yeah. And there are people that leave Austin in the summers a lot because it's hot here, but they have every intention of still living here. They just want to rent it out for 3 or 4 months a year. And you know what? They're going to go traveling. So if they get some rent, then that helps pay for the traveling, you know?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
I'm always saddened when I hear someone say, especially professionals in the space, say, oh, I've got a ton of furnished rentals, but I just want to try out the site. And so they'll put one property on Furnished Finder. I'm like, but you're really doing yourself a disservice by only putting one, because you're not getting those tenant leads and getting the variety of map searches around your metropolitan area. Or, you know, if you have properties in multiple cities, you know, try out all those different cities. So you have, you know, a ton of properties, over 30 properties on Furnished Finder. What have you found is the benefit of having so many properties on the site and having them spread out around the Austin area?
So I just want to say that we do multi-pronged marketing on our properties, and we measure how our advertising efforts are doing. And we feel that Furnished Finder is an excellent site for us, just so you know. And it always puzzles me, because I sometimes see people commenting that they're not getting bookings off of Furnished Finder. And that does puzzle me, because we find it really works well. What I will say is, when you have more properties up on the site, there's a thing that I call it cross-marketing, but basically the more properties you have, the more inquiries you're going to generate. And let's say you have a property on Furnished Finder that just happened to already book, and you still have the listing there. So someone now hits on that one, and you're talking to that person, and you realize after talking to them that maybe a different one of your properties might work. So that happens to us all the time. So that's one of the reasons why we keep our listings active, is we want those cross-marketing opportunities. We keep our calendars updated. That's important. But we also want to say, hey, yeah, you know what? That 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that you were asking about has actually booked now, or it's not available for the timing that you want it. It is available, but it's a month later. But let me see if I can help you. I might have other properties. And I think that's a real advantage of having multiple properties up there.
Yep, for sure. We had one in our Belton Temple area where Belton had been live for a couple years, but it wasn't available. And we were in the process of buying our Temple property, so it wasn't on the site yet. Well, because someone, you know, was able to use that cross marketing and reach out about Belton, I was able to tell them about Temple. And rather than having to wait, you know, once we closed on the deal, we had an insurance company ready with clients to move in. I think it was like within a week of closing. And they brought the furniture because we didn't have time to completely furnish it. So we had guests for a year in the home that we didn't even have to furnish the place until 1 year later. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's great. We have three studio apartments all within two buildings, next door buildings. And these, they're essentially triplets. Two of them are exactly the same. The right. only difference between the two of them is the color of kitchen chair because the white ones were out of stock. The other ones, the layout is just like slightly different. And by slightly, I mean like the couch instead of over here is over here. Like you'd never know it. And I think most people would probably put up one listing. But we have all three up, and I'm telling you, it works so great because when people click on it, A, they're seeing our listing essentially three times, right? So we are taking up a bigger space up the map, and we're taking up more of those visuals. And also, if someone clicks on it and it's not available for their dates, but then they click on my profile, they see that you're like, yes, I am a professional landlord, right? And that's one of, mom and pops are fantastic. We absolutely love them. But if one of the things that you are trying to advertise as a more professional landlord with a larger selection is that you have a larger selection, those people are never going to know it if you don't list those properties, right? It's also, you want to be able to cross market and say, look at this other listing I have, not let me tell you about another listing. Because if you're trying to refer to a property that's not on Furnish Finder,
yeah.
it can come off as very, very scammy, right? So we definitely don't encourage that. But, you know, you think about it and when you multiply it, yeah, like it's three times more expensive to put up three studios than one. However, the benefits I get from that are huge and it's still the same price per unit. It's so inexpensive. So it's just, I think it just frames you, anyone who has multiple properties and isn't taking up their fair share of that search page, like you're missing out.
And we wanted to circle back and speak to something Julie was referencing is, you know, if you're on the Furnish Finder Facebook group with the over 100,000 people in the group and you say, oh, well, Furnish Finder's not working for me. What we find is when people, you know, say those things and they actually reach out to customer service for help, a lot of times it's their calendar's outdated, they don't have professional photos, and they're not very active in their tenant leads or in their messaging. And Furnish Finder was made to be a proactive site. We want you guys to be able to do business your way and connect with possible tenants, but you can do your screenings, you can have multiple applicants, you can use your direct booking platform if you'd like. If you don't have an opportunity for that, we've got our sister company, KeyCheck, which has everything you need once someone says yes. It has the tenant screenings, state-specific leases with e-signature, and rent payments. And two of those are free to you, and the tenant pays for the fees, and then the leases is the only one that you would sign up for and choose the best fit, and it's very affordable.
Yeah, I always tell people, I'm like, if you're not getting the results you want on Furnish Finder, you know, go back, look at the resources, because it is meant to be. And I'm using an analogy here because, and my husband calls me the queen of analogies lately. I come up with some that are way worse than others, but I'm like, Furnish Finder is a dating site, right? You're putting up your profile, you're putting your best foot forward, but you have to get on there and message some people and you have to schedule the date, right? Like we can't do that for you, right? It's a lead generation platform. It is different than all of the online travel agencies, the Airbnb, the Vrbo, things like that. So you have to behave differently on it, right? Like you've got to get active and you've got to message, you've got to connect, you've got to interact. Check your photos, check your pricing, all these things. Really make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. So,
Katie, I think you're on to something. I think we need a swipe left, swipe right. If you swipe left, it automatically connects with your with that host.
I will take that up the chain, Kelly. No promises. No promises, but that would be kind of fun because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes if I'm like, I can't fall asleep, I'm like, I think most people like scroll Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to look on Zillow for a while.
Yes. That's probably all three of us.
Even if I don't have any money at the time, we're like in no position for the next property. I'm like, oh, I just need to scroll a little.
Yeah. So see what's going on out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Julie. So we've noticed that a lot of your properties on Furnish Finder have a 90-day minimum. We should add in here, because it's an interesting stat, that the average stay for a Furnish Finder guest is somewhere between 90 and 100 days. But we have a 30-day minimum, and 30-day minimum is kind of what gets you from short-term to mid-term, right? That's kind of the soft cutoff there. So tell us your thought behind a 90-day minimum instead of a 30.
So I would say that most of our owners prefer that. And, you know, since we're representing other owners, their interests are important to us. We will ask them to be more flexible if we're finding that the property is not getting enough leads. We will ask them to consider a 60-day. But keep in mind, because they have a representative helping them book, there is a fee for our services, right? And that fee is incurred when we find them a new tenant. So the reality is that they don't want to be paying that fee every month, you know? So our model is a little different. And I would say our average stay actually is more like 5 months. So we're just kind of working more on that 3 to 6 month group. But I wouldn't say that we rule out completely the 60-day stay. We have had those. They require owner approval. They're usually given in those situations, for example, with the part-time owner who wants to use the property, or where we've had a slower time period and the property is not booking, and they would consider a shorter stay because they just don't want vacancy, so to speak. So, but that's just been the wheelhouse that we're in. I don't know, you know, I assume we would probably get more leads if we took it down to 60 days. But again, the owners might not, they don't always appreciate having that much turnover, because that could be like 6 short leases a year. And maybe they don't want to pay turnover fees. And every time that happens, you know,
and that's the other, like the leases, like the leads have to work for you, right? So I think you have a good point there. Now, you have a lot of tenants that renew, and I think that's also pretty typical within midterm rentals. I know Kelly has that. I find that I have that.
I don't get it too much.
You don't. I think it's, I mean, I think the two ends of the spectrum of midterm tenants, and this is a total guess, you guys, okay? This is not backed by hard data. But if you go to like the travel nurses, traveling medical professionals, a lot of times they'll renew because they start on a 13-week contract. And a lot of times they have the opportunity to renew if the hospital has the need and they have found a match within that individual, right? On the flip side, if you're housing insurance claims, relocations, remodels in those larger properties, when was the last time anything in construction got done on time? Right.
Yeah.
So you're getting a
you're
lot
right.
of extensions there.
I get
right?
a lot of those.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you guys experience a lot of extensions as well, is correct? Okay. And do they all kind of fit into those categories?
Yeah, we actually keep stats on that too. And we're about 55% of the time they're extending beyond their original. And I think one of the ways that we're having that is that we are proactively asking fairly early on, about 4 weeks before checkout, we're proactively reaching out to say, what are your plans? And if you want to stay, we'll make sure we hold the property for you, you know? And if they don't know their plans, it's okay, but that oftentimes triggers an extension, which is great. And so, you know, for the most part, we want extensions. That's a good thing, you know. But there are situations where maybe the owner wants to use the property and we can't always offer that. Yeah. But I think it's it's, you know, it's a short-term mentality for an owner to look at it as, well, I'm only getting 60 days. I think that's the wrong mindset, because that's not typically how it washes out, right?
Yeah.
60 days often turns into 90 or 120. I've definitely had people that have come in for 3 months and stayed 12. So, you know, you just never know. And I mean, so I just tell people, like, you're not going to complain if I bring you a 6 month lease, you know, that you're very happy with that. But a 3 month can easily turn into a 6 month, by the way. So like, you just kind of have to be flexible. Yeah.
You do. And a lot of these tenants get these changes last minute, right? Like, a lot of times the hospital extensions, they come last minute, or it's like construction, like, oh, I thought you were going to be done. Everything's on time. And then nothing's done on time. So it's, we're in a midterm, but as far as booking, at least I've experienced this, and I'd be curious what's happened for you guys. I get a lot of bookings and a lot of extensions last minute. Like, oh, I'm looking for somewhere to move in next week. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I can, sure. A lot of times it's kind of short-term thinking.
I will say, I like the 30-day minimum, right? Or the 30-day heads up. So it's like, while last-minute changes do occur, we always ask our guests to give us just a 30-day heads up. They can stay as long as they want. We just want to know 30 days in advance before you move out. And if during that time period we don't have anyone yet and you need to change it again, then that's totally fine. Now we've got a new 30 days in place. So that has worked very well with us for the remodels and the home purchases and, you know, building homes and those sorts of scenarios. And the best we've done yet is we're going to have a travel nurse family with us for probably by the end. Right now, they're at over 2 years. I think they'll probably be wow. with us somewhere between 2 to 5 years by the end. Now, we did make sure and work with them, because like you're saying, if you just shut down and say, no, we don't do that, we're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities. And this is a great family that not only has been an awesome addition to our home, but we store our boat out there as well. And he's pretty savvy with boats. So if Dave ever has something that like goes wrong with the boat, he'll typically give advice on, hey, it's probably this, blah, blah, blah. So that's been really cool. And we just kind of negotiated and made a between midterm rental and long-term rental rate for them so that we didn't lose this wonderful family. But one thing, Julie, that I think with so many people think, I don't need a property management company. I can do this myself. And if I do hire a property management company, I'm not going to see any cash flow. So why don't we talk to the appreciation versus the cash flow? And in our current market, how are your property management clients doing with your corporate rentals that they own?
Yeah, so I get two groups that do property management with me. They are typically people who start out working with me to buy the property, and then we work the property management fee and leasing fees into their cash flow analysis from the beginning. So they already have their head wrapped around those numbers. Or I'll have people that'll bring me a property that had already been with a property management company or an Airbnb property management company because it was furnished and they were doing Airbnb and now they don't want to do that anymore. So I would say a midterm rental property management is a lot less expensive than the Airbnb property management type stuff because they're turning it over all the time and it's very labor intensive. I do get people that just want to use us for leasing services, and that's okay too. But I do try to caution them. Here's my thoughts about that. It's a more high touch model, right? Doing midterm rental than it is doing long-term rental. You're asking them to pay more rent. They're going to expect you to be more attentive. You're going to have to turn over the property more regularly. And when you turn it over, you need to present it well. So if you have time in your life and you're local and you can do those things, great. That's probably going to work out awesome. But if you're really busy in your other career and you don't have the time to do this well, you're going to frustrate the tenant. And that's going to start to get weird, you know? And if you're not local, it's also very clunky too, because now you're relying on friends or contractors to be your eyes and ears, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. The other big part of this that people don't realize is, until it becomes a problem, is having a valid lease and having a property manager enforce that is huge when stuff goes wrong. What if they don't pay their rent on time, or if they don't pay it at all? And you're not really, what do? You don't know. A property manager is trained to know what to do there, how to evict them, how to take them to court, how to fight for you. Okay, that's awful. You don't want to have to think about that, but this does happen sometimes. Also, what if they're just violating a provision in the lease and they're doing it constantly? Are you comfortable being the enforcer and going there and dealing with that? A property manager is paid to do that, you know, and they have to do that for you. So I think there, you know, everything being good, we all think, okay, we can do that. We can property manage until things go wrong. And then it gets tricky. You can land yourself in a lawsuit very easily, and that's not what anyone wants. So I do try to talk to people. They have the choice, of course, but I try to explain the pros and cons. Sure, you're going to save that property management fee, and you're going to be a little bit more profitable not having property management. I got it. I understand. But you're also taking on this extra responsibility. When the pipes burst at midnight, they're going to call you. Will you answer? Do you want that call? Do you know what to do? And if you don't, they're going to call our team, and we already have a list of contractors and maintenance manager on call. So for us to handle it, it's a normal part of doing business.
I think it's important to also realize the type of property you have, right? If you have, like, if you're responsible for the outside of your property, if you have a big yard, if you have a pool, if you have things like that, the age of the property, right? If you have a brand spanking new condo and you're not responsible for anything outside of those four walls, that's a little bit easier. But I think even in the best case scenario where you're like, I got this, I can do all of it, you need to have a relationship with someone like Julie, who, if something goes wrong, you know, you can go to her and you can say, like, hey, I have my lease from KeyCheck, so I know it's legally binding and checks all the right boxes. However, I'm in a pickle. Can you help me? And I'm sure, you know, people like Julie are responsible and responsive and, you know, for a partnership fee or whatever it is, I'm sure you would be able to help people through that process. But I just think it's important that even if you take the route of, I can do this, I can handle this, I got it all on my own, you still need to have a backup, right?
Yeah. And you just want, hopefully it won't go to the point where you're already into legal stuff and then it's a real estate lawyer that's helping you, you know, or a landlord-tenant lawyer, you know. Hopefully, you know, you don't wait too long to get advice. It's really important when you're doing all of this investing and landlord stuff to not get in over your head, right? To recognize, what are my strengths? What do I know? What do I not know? And don't fake it, you know, like, talk to other people, get advice. Even me, you know, I've been doing this a really long time. I have several good mentors. You have to have that, you know, and you shouldn't be afraid to talk to people and say, I want to run this by you. here's what's going on. And here's what I want to do. What do you think? And oftentimes our instincts are good, but without validating it, we also could have made a big mistake. You know, there's a lot of, that's another thing about using a realtor, right? We're trained. We have to take courses on all of the legislation out there. So we will know if we're doing something illegal or not. And we will definitely advise against it. Don't do it. Because you know what? All it takes is that tenant to have some legal knowledge or someone in their family who's a lawyer. And all of a sudden, they're threatening to sue you. So not trying to scare people, but this is the real world. I mean, there's a lot of Fair Housing and American Disabilities Act. There's a lot of laws out there that you have to actually be aware of, you know?
One thing that I like that you advertise and we talk about on the show as well is zero evictions, you know, for your corporate rentals. And that's pretty common because of the clientele that you're having come through. So I want to wrap up with one last piece of the conversation from a broker realtor perspective of, you know, for those of you that are more mom and pop operators out there or don't even have your first midterm rental yet, you know, y'all have heard me say many times, I view myself as a midterm rental enthusiast. I am so honored to be able to tell all of your stories around the country, but I look forward to the opportunity of partnering with hopefully Julie or someone like Julie in the future around the country to help Dave and I grow our mindset. Because Dave and I think very small, and our answers are exactly what Julie's saying. Oh, that pipe bursted. What are we going to do? Well, we haven't been great at like finding the right contractor that is our go-to person. AHS has been amazing for everything on the inside of our home. We love using the American Home Shield warranties on our houses. But what if something breaks on the outside or you need your siding redone, things like that? We haven't done a great job of building those relationships. And we did go shake somebody's pipe out in one of our most recent freezes. They had no water. We didn't know what we were doing, but we spent 2 to 3 hours in the cold where a professional probably would have come out and, you know, fixed it within 30 minutes, but we got it done. But it's not the best way to do business. And so, Julie, what are you seeing right now with our crazy market and our higher interest rates? What are some creative ways that people can still find great corporate rentals and midterm rentals in this market?
I think you have to consider on the buying side, what incentives you can get from the seller at the moment, right? So obviously people immediately go to price and they think about that as a negotiating, and of course it is, but it's so much more. Right? You can now really negotiate a lot towards your closing costs. You can negotiate interest rate buy downs. New construction is offering all kinds of, it's amazing in some areas what they're offering as far as not just, interest rate, but, you know, cash at close. And all of this factors into your return, right? So, and then I think working with a good realtor, you can also like look at certain repairs and have the seller either take those on or get concessions towards those. So you really are starting off with a property that doesn't have like a lot of headaches. I also work with a really great lender here in Austin who, and I know this is not just in Austin, it's available in other areas. But she does, remodeling in the loan, like rolled into the loan. So the property's priced a little lower than their buy budget, but they want to put in a certain amount of equity into it, remodeling to get it rental ready. That can all be part of the loan application. So just little things like that. So all of a sudden, a property that was off the table, now it goes back on the table. So I think there's lots of things. I mean, this is not a robust real estate market, but you know what? Most real estate investors buy in these down markets, even with high interest rates, because they understand they can refinance the rate, but prices might not be this low again for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Most people are shying away like, oh my gosh, no, actually, if you're in a position, especially a cash buyer, like, you know, get in there. I'm sorry, but get in there if you're a cash buyer, right? Because you don't have to worry about the interest rate. But most of us aren't cash buyers, and I get that. So it's a little bit less focus on cash flow right now for a year or two, and then we get to refinance. And what we need to focus on right now is appreciation. Because we're getting a good price, and that's going to go back up. You know, this time period that we're all in right now, we all know what's driving that. And, you know, we don't have time to get into all of that on this program, but it's those conditions will change over time, you know?
For sure. Well, let's transition a bit and really engage in the realtor side as a broker of the conversation, because many midterm rental investors do it all on their own. Now, they're not necessarily purchasing their own properties. But the Bigger Pockets author, Sarah Weaver, Ziana McIntyre, you know, Bigger Pockets constantly educates on use an investor-friendly agent for your purchases. And it's so valuable because if you're not an investor and an agent, you don't really understand the mindset of an investor as well. So let's get into some of those things that you explain very well about how valuable it is to have a realtor or a broker in your court when you're choosing your next furnished rental or midterm rental property.
Sure. I think I'll talk initially just on the realtor in general, and then maybe more specifically about an investor realtor, because I think they're a little bit different. So all realtors are going to help you negotiate. They're going to be able to look up the comps for the sales. If they know what they're doing, they can also look up the comps for like long-term rentals, all of that stuff. And that's very helpful, and you need to have that research. Where it changes a little bit is if you're working with an investor-friendly realtor, meaning that they have done some investing, they have a math mindset, they think about what your goals are, then they can start to really break down your cash flow for you, what that's going to look like. If they know what they're doing, they should be able to look up appreciation rates in different areas and neighborhoods and compare those for you so you can see. And when I say appreciation rates, we're looking at historical data. We can't predict the future, right? But historical data can be very telling on how an area is performing. So we can do that for you. In addition, we can look at things like capitalization rates, what's going to be your return on investment predicted, and then also historic, like after you've owned the place for a year, what's my return on investment, all of that kind of data. And I love math. So to me, I don't mind doing that. I think that's the exciting part about being an investor, is transforming properties and then also seeing the potential, what that's doing for your net worth. Because ultimately, that's why we're in this, is that we want to, at some point down the road, build our net worth to some point that gives us financial freedom, whatever that looks like. Financial freedom might be that you keep working, but you don't have to keep working. You know, that's awesome, you know. And passive income, I believe, is part of that. You know, there are other ways to invest, certainly, but real estate provides a really powerful way to invest because when you leverage a lender's money, you're growing your returns faster. And I have a whole like model thing that I show to people on that because it's sort of obvious to me. But then I realized we're not really educated on this when we're growing up and we don't get to take a course on this. Right. So when I show that to people, they're all like, no one's ever showed me this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this. And then I get some investors that come and they're very savvy and they already know how to work these numbers. And they just like working with me because I understand how to do it, too. You know, but yeah, I think it matters a lot because what it does is it makes me very honest because if I'm going to run numbers ahead of time and you're going to buy that property, I'm going to sort of feel a sense of ownership in your purchase that things will work out, you know, having provided the guidance. Yeah. And a lot of agents will say, okay, I work with investors. Sure. I'll do that. But they actually really don't have that background, the math background. Yeah. So it's not the greatest. You know, like, I'm not saying that they didn't pick a good property. They might, but they're not doing as much due diligence.
Right. And to dive into that a little deeper, the ethical side of real estate is super important to you. So, like, where does it cross the line sometimes? Like, how is that? Let's just hear more about the ethical side of the business.
Sure. I mean, I think that for me, I have to be very careful to give information, but also in a context and make sure people understand that's not a guarantee. Past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. It's an indicator. And so I have to be really cautious about that and make sure what I'm saying, if they're misinterpreting it, that I correct that. You know, I also will say that if I feel like I'm working with someone on the other side of the table, an agent who has poor ethics, or if I get wind of the fact that something might be wrong with this property, or we're not getting the full story, things look kind of fishy, you know, I will definitely talk to my client and we'll consider pulling off that deal if it's fishy enough. Because it's not good if you feel like the other side, the seller side, is not representing things well. This is the beginning when they're supposed to be on their best behavior.
Right.
You know, and if they're not, something's not right about that. And there's other properties, you know what I mean? You kind of sometimes you have to go, ooh, that was a near miss. Let's move on, you know? So I would rather do that and not get the sale because it's right for my client, you know?
And don't get emotionally invested, right? And sometimes that's hard for us investors because especially in today's market, it can feel like I've been looking for a property that can hit my target numbers for so long. And then you finally find one and you're like, oh, finally. And you're like, it's so great. I found it. And then something can go wrong either ethically or like a vibe or something at an inspection and it can turn it all around. And sometimes you can try to force it to make it work, but it's like, no, this is just not meant to be. But I want to talk about some of your successes as well. You've got a lot of case studies on your website. So why don't you kind of give us an overview of one of the case studies that you've done with one of your clients and kind of tell us how it went and how it turned out.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones. I have an investor. He's based in California. He's bought several multifamilies with me. And we targeted Northwest Austin and Central Austin for his purchases. And we targeted duplexes that were originally investor-held long-term rentals that were in great locations but very tired on the inside. They were good floor plans, but the things were dated, and they had been long-term rentals for a while. And so they were just kind of, you know, a little bit beaten up. And so we bought one in Northwest Hills that was, he spent, I want to say $670 on both sides, the whole property. And each side was renting out for about $1,700 a month. And it had active tenants in one side and then another lease that was almost up. So we acquired those tenants. And then the one that was almost up, we turned that into a midterm rental after those folks left. And then a year later, we turned the other side into a midterm rental on each side. We did about $8,000 to $10,000 in light remodeling. So like just kind of give it a spruce, right? Get it looking better, get the furniture in. And we've actively been leasing both of those now for over 2 years. And they're consistently at $3,300 to $3,500 a month. So on each side. So, I mean, that's, if you do it right, I mean, that's the power of midterm versus long-term. That's a huge difference. And those are very popular properties because of the neighborhood they're in. And I think they just needed someone to come in and see that property in a different light, give it a different vision. Does it have to be tired? Does it have to be a long-term rental just because it's a duplex? These both have huge yards, you know? So that's a really great one. And he also purchased a more modern duplex with me in Central Austin, and we did something similar. We didn't have to do remodeling on that one, but similar thing where we had long-term tenants and they moved out and we were able to increase the rent. I think in that case it was $1,900 and now it's around $3,600, $3,700. So
that's a great case study.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good one. They're not all that strong. I mean, a lot of times they're single family, so you don't get as much of a boost, right? And the thing I love about that one, I talked to him, is that, you know, eventually he doesn't want to sell those. They're cash flowing really well. But eventually, if he does want to sell them, we could split those and sell them separately too. And they'd be worth a lot more, you know? So his little $675 one, the valuation I did for him about 6 months ago, it's worth over $900 now.
Wow.
So it's done good, you know.
It was fantastic. This has been everything I hoped the interview would be. We really appreciate you. Furnish Finder appreciates you. If someone wants to connect and ask you further questions or is potentially interested in investing in the Austin area, how should they connect with you?
Thank you for asking that. We do have a website. It's www.homebaseatx.com. And on there are various team members and how to reach them. I'm on there, other members of my team. I personally am not big enough company yet. I take direct calls from owners that are interested in what we do, so they can reach out to me personally. I also have a team member named Sage who was kind of takes inquiries on our properties and would be happy as well. So yeah, please like reach out anytime. I love connecting with other owners who are trying to do this. I recognize not everybody who speaks to me wants me to work for them. Sometimes they just need me to help with, you know, a little bit of direction or guidance. And I'm always happy to help with that.
Well, thank you, Julie, so much for being with us. We've heard another great episode on The Landlord Diaries. If you're enjoying our show, please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share it with a friend. We, you know, there's lots of great real estate investment opportunities out there. And it's a great strategy to really build your generational wealth, right? So, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.